Grace, mercy, and peace be with you this day from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Rob, if you would, all set to go?
All right. Great shot, Tom. That should do it for you.
Thank you.
What are you going to do with all those winnings?
Well, my broker is E.F. Hutton, and E.F. Hutton says...
When E.F. Hutton talks, people listen.
If only our children would do that. During the late 70s and 80s, E.F. Hutton ran a series of commercials just like that. People out for a jog, sitting aboard a train, or even together at a dinner party. But the one constant among all those commercials was that the conversation would always turn to the stock market. And that's what one person would say to the other, "My broker is E.F. Hutton." And E.F. Hutton says. And everything stopped. Joggers would halt mid-stride. Commuters on board the train would put down their newspapers. And yes, dinner guests would even stop passing the green bean casserole. For everyone clamored to hear the sage advice of the legendary E.F. Hutton. Because when E.F. Hutton talks, people listen. In our gospel lesson for today, Peter, Andrew, James, and John were also listening. But what they were listening to wasn't the latest trends in the stock market or, more appropriately, the latest fishing news. No, what those four men were listening to was Jesus' call to follow him. We have to admit, at first it sounds like a crazy idea, doesn't it? Walk up to four men, men that you've probably never known before in your life, and tell them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Now, what was Jesus thinking? Over these years, these four men had built solid businesses. Each had a settled life. They had homes and families. They had responsibilities and rewards. And did Jesus really think that they would leave behind their nets, their boats, their income? Our epiphany theme for this day. Did Jesus really think these men would sacrifice everything and follow him? And then what about the four men themselves? What about Peter, Andrew, James, and John? Here they are, minding their own business, maybe thinking what the day ahead is about to bring. And then this man walks up to them and says, "Follow me." And yet, as crazy as it all sounds, that's exactly what those men did. They left behind their nets, their boats, and for two of them, they even left behind their father. And they followed Jesus. And Matthew includes this word for a reason. Immediately. So the question begs itself this day, why? Why give up a life in which things seem to be going okay? Why risk it all to follow someone you've never met to that very moment? Well, perhaps things weren't all that well. In the Old Testament reading for this day, Isaiah called their land, their Galilee, the people dwelling in darkness. They were among those dwelling in the region and the shadow of death. And if we keep reading Matthew's account, we see things are not all that great. There were those afflicted with various diseases and pains, those oppressed by demons, epileptics, and paralytics. It's quite obvious that the people around were not doing all that well. And can we honestly blame these four men if given the opportunity to get away from all these problems? Wouldn't you have said yes too? But we don't have to wonder, do we? All we need to do is look around our world today. We know what it's like to be people dwelling in darkness. I know exactly what Isaiah meant to be those dwelling in the region in the shadow of death. Every morning, every night, it's the same story. Person shot dead. A person dies of an overdose. An innocent person killed by the senseless actions of another. And then to make things worse, what about all those problems we bring upon ourselves? Life is tough enough, we all know it. So what do? We say and we do things that make life even harder. How many times have words or actions cost not only a friendship, but even a marriage? How many families have been torn apart because of something that was said or done? No matter how settled or how comfortable our lives may appear, we know what it's like to be people dwelling in darkness, those dwelling in the region and the shadow of death. So again, I ask you the question. If given the opportunity, if you could escape all these problems and follow Jesus, wouldn't you? I think we would all jump at the opportunity. And that's why to drop everything and follow Jesus isn't as crazy after all. And thanks to the Holy Spirit, we do. As we were taught, on our own, our sinful own, we want nothing to do with Jesus. But through the Holy Spirit who calls and gathers, as we confessed just a few moments ago, we are not only able to follow Jesus, but to borrow from E.F. Hutton, when Jesus talks, we listen. And through his word, we not only hear, but also see his whole story. We know of his life and the miracles and healings he did. Through the gift of faith, we are able to see who Jesus really is, how we recognize him as our Savior who loved us and gave himself up for us to die on the cross for our sins, and how 3 days later he rose from the dead, overcoming death and hell for us and giving us life forever in his name. And these four men, and later the remaining disciples, they would find it all out. They would have the front row seats to see Jesus do his miracles and healings. Their ears would be the first to hear the gracious words of life that will come from Jesus' lips. Now, will following Jesus always be easy? Will it be a walk in the park? Now, we know the answer to that also. And that answer is no. There will be times when following Jesus will be met with skepticism and questions. I'm sure just like you and me, the disciples always didn't know where Jesus was taking them or how many times he thought that he was leading them in the wrong way. After all, isn't Jesus supposed to take us away from all those problems I mentioned earlier? So why is it then that we often find ourselves standing on the front line? When I was down in the Chicago area, in Itasca, I had the chance to meet a young man, married, a couple small kids. He was working on his colloquy to become a pastor in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. He finally finished it. He was ordained and he was placed at a church. About 2 years ago, I received an email from him. And he said, I'm putting my faith to action. I'm going to trust that God is leading me to where I'm about to go. He picked up his family. He moved them into the city of Chicago. Last month, I received one of his newsletters. I'd like to read it to you this day. At our last youth group, we asked the students what they think about this time of year, Christmas. One student answered, death. A few days later, the same student's cousin got shot multiple times in the head and back in a gang-related attack. His passing was yet one more example of how death has defined a holiday season for him and his family. Another student shared about an experience where he saw his cousin shot right in front of him a week before. The student is a very unassuming and respectful young man whose father and grandfather are both pastors who have been pouring themselves into the city for decades. This shooting was the third shooting that this student found himself in this year. This shooting also took place right in front of their family's church late on a Sunday night. They had stopped to pick up some trash from a food truck in front of the church. His cousin apparently said something inappropriate to someone standing there, and the shooter turned and shot him in the head. These are the places that Jesus wants to take us. So why then do we continue to listen when he talks? Because it is in those exact places where people dwelling in darkness. It is for those dwelling in the region and the shadow of death that the light has come. Those four fishermen, they would become, as Jesus said, fishers of men. They would later take on the gospel message and proclaim it to all who would hear that Jesus is the light of the world. You see, that's what true followers of Jesus do. Does it have an effect? Listen to how the newsletter ended. After sharing this story in one of our group meetings, I asked this student to close out our time together in prayer. And he proceeded to pray one of the most powerful prayers I ever heard from someone so young. God is raising up young disciples in Chicago amidst the awful realities that we have to encounter on a daily basis. His deeply dependent prayer spoke to the aspects of spiritual warfare, healing, and power to forgive and carry on. Well, it's not crazy to follow Jesus. What is crazy is that when Jesus talks, people don't listen. Thankfully, we do. We hear what he has to say to us. How he loves us. How he will always take care of us. How he will always be our light for those dwelling in the region and the shadow of death. Amen.